Good morning. Oh, come on. We're in a we're basically in a pub. You guys can get louder than that. Like, good morning. Yeah, there we go. Everybody go, ah, right? Good morning, ah. I mean, that's basically where we are, and it's awesome. Like, this is great. Everything's right there for us. We've got our breakfast. My name's Charles Fisher. If you don't know me, I'm basically just known as the coffee guy around here. I do a little bit of everything. I'm part of some of the leadership and launch team, and so I'm excited to be able to share some teaching with you this morning. And so hopefully you can bear with me and stay focused with anything else that's going on around here. The ADD in me will just kick in, so it'll just be like, all right, let's go. It's all right. So it's a great place to be on a Sunday morning. So snowed in one way or the other, having us gather together and be able to still just have some fun and eat food and just hang out is a great way to start up a Sunday morning. So pretty excited to be here. This is week two of our series, Wake Up the Wonder. So last week we looked at a character in the Christmas story, and each week we're looking at someone new and we're trying to come at it from a new perspective. So we may have heard the Christmas story before, and you may not have ever heard the Christmas story before. So either way, we want to come at this story with just fresh eyes, where you get to introduce people from the Christmas story, from the nativity scene, and we just get to see them and interact with them and kind of put ourselves in their shoes of where they were. So last week we met Mary, and we got to see where she came from and the things that would just be encouraging for us to hear. And so we heard from Tim, and we met Mary, the mother of Jesus. And this week we're going to talk about some other people in the story. But before I even get into that, when you think of Christmas, what is the thing that you think of the most? What is the first thing that pops in your head when you think of Christmas, just Christmas time? Just shout it out. Presents, carols. All right, so presents was what I was looking for. So that's all. Like, that was the first one. Like, presents, yeah. So we think of presents. And then there's other traditions and trees and movies and songs and all kinds of fun stuff, too. But presents. And every year, there's always the one present that all the kids want. And there's always this one desirable toy that's the top of everybody's list of what they need Santa to bring them. And over the years, it's been a couple different things. I've always been curious where that eventually started. And it actually started all the way back in the 30s. There was a Shirley Temple doll that was kind of the first of those toys that was like the number one hot list. The year that I was born, it was Transformers. And so I got a picture. If you don't know what a Transformer is, we've got Transformers was the number one toy you had to have that year. The year after was the Teddy Ruxpin toy. That was the number one. And I had one of these. Actually, it's still in my attic. The jaw, I think, is like broken off. It's even more creepy. The reason I brought this one up, though, is they're bringing this back. There's a lot of debate about what the number one toy of 2017 is, because the number one seems to be a very, very girl-related doll. So they're saying, well, maybe that's not it. But Teddy Ruxpin is on the top 10 list in the new version. So it's coming back, all right? So it's coming back, and it's creepier than the old one was. Just giving you a heads up. It's got, like, eyes that change. It's something special. So I tell you that, I want you to just turn to somebody near you and just share the toy that either you got that was your favorite or the one you never got and you really were mad about. So one of those two things, share that with somebody that you're sitting with. All right, it's fun to just chat about that kind of stuff. I'd encourage you to share more of that later on, because it sounded like some of you were immediately drawn to the second question of, like, the one that I wanted and never got. You immediately were like, oh, yeah, I've got those to share. So over the years, there's all these toys that come out. And did you know that in New York, there's actually a place called the Toy Hall of Fame? There's legitimately a place called the Toy Hall of Fame. In 1998, it was started. There's a couple criteria that the toy has to meet about creativity and longevity, not just a fad. It has to actually be something that's been around for a while, and it just inspires creativity with kids. And in the first class of the Toy Hall of Fame, there was like 17 toys introduced at the same time, but they only add like 3 or 4 a year now. So this year, the ones added were the game Clue. You know, Colonel Mustard, yeah? So that's a great one added to, you guys are like, oh yeah, Clue. We're going home to play that today. Snow day, clue day, now. The next one was the wiffle ball, like the actual wiffle ball. That's inducted this year. And the last one this year inducted into the Hall of Fame is the paper airplane, all right? So the paper airplane 2017, how does that get in? You know, it's like, but it has to inspire creativity, and the airplane does. So, but in that first class, there's a toy that I wanted to introduce you to that you may have seen before. It's called the ViewMaster. All right, so maybe you remember the ViewMaster. This is in the Toy Hall of Fame. This is the one I drove the... No, I'm just kidding. This is the one my daycare has, and it just stays there. So I have this Toy Hall of Fame viewfinder. And the cool thing about the viewfinder is that no matter where you are, all you do is you kind of put this filter in, and it kind of changes everything that you see. And now I'm all of a sudden fighting Dr. Octopus with Spider-Man. So like, there's all kinds of different filters that we put in here. And this is where I kind of want to land, is these filters from this toy reminds us of the things that happen in our life. So what we're doing, as even you're hanging out here today, you are filtering this interaction with something that has already happened to you in the past. You're filtering every conversation you've had with everybody else. You're kind of using a filter of, you know, this is how I've interacted with people in the past. This is how I interacted with somebody yesterday. Hey, I said this yesterday. That offended somebody. I'm not going to say that today. Even things like that are filters we use. Maybe you were hurt really bad by a friend in the past, or maybe you had a great relationship with a friend in the past, and those things interact and they change and they filter the way we see our friendships and future relationships in our lives. And it's kind of a look at mentality. We've got all these different filters, so maybe you had a really awesome job experience, and so you go into any other job with a filter of jobs are great. And so you put this in and you're like, man, I've had great experience. And maybe that's not your story. Maybe you've had a bad job experience. And so anytime you walk into a new place for a job, man, you automatically put that filter on and assume it's going to be bad. And maybe it's that way with your relationships. Maybe you're entering a new dating relationship and you've had bad relationships in the past. And so you put that filter in. And every interaction you have is now seen through this filter of a bad relationship in the past. Or maybe you just, everything is rose-colored glasses because every relationship you've ever had has been awesome. And that's a great one. You put that in and you interact with people on just a really cool level. And maybe you just had a bad experience at work at one time. And that bad experience now comes in every time you come back into work. That bad experience comes up. That bad interaction comes up. And so we have these filters. We collect them. We've got a whole stack of them we put in depending on what we're doing. We've got a whole stack of filters that we change out and how we interact with people and how we interact with our life and how we mostly interact with our circumstances all depends on these filters that we already have. And we have them all stored away, ready to go. So that anytime we're interacting with something new or looking at the future or looking at anything, we're looking at it through a filter. And see, we have this look at filter where we just get stuck there. Everything comes through and is filtered there. And it can be good, but it also can be really bad. Just in the fact that we just don't experience something new because we're always looking at things through the filter. And I know that you're sitting there and you're like, why does this matter at Christmas time? Well, it has everything to do with Christmas time. It has everything to do because how you view life dictates how you do life. How you view the things around you, how you view life dictates how you do life. So everything that you view, everything you're looking at for the future all depends on, you know, how you view it. It all is about perspective. How you view things is going to change how you do things. So it's really important when we talk about the Christmas season, we're thinking about all these different filters we might have. We might even interact with Christmas based on different interactions and different filters that we have from the past. We might not even really enjoy the Christmas season because we have a filter in our box and we go through and we're like, bad Christmas experiences, and we pop it in, and that's how we interact with Christmas from now on. And so it really is important because how you view life drives how you do life. Has everything to do with Christmas, because at Christmas, our Heavenly Father gave us a new way to view life. That's what the Christmas story does to us. It gives us a new way to view life. And if as we go into this, you'll just see that the guys that we're going to introduce ourselves to today, were just doing their job. They were just interacting with life on their normal level, at that look at level. They were interacting with their life. As far as we can tell, the guys that I'm about to tell you about, we don't even think that they have any religious connection. We have no reason to believe that they were part of any of the religious groups or anything other than maybe that they sold some sheep to people who were going to sacrifice them. Because we're going to talk about some shepherds today. They were at work doing their thing, probably gathered around a little campfire, right? I can really imagine this at nighttime, kind of gathered around a campfire, bunch of shepherds doing their thing, watching out for wolves, making sure wolves don't come eat their sheep, because that's a big part of what you do when you're a shepherd. You make sure wolves don't eat your sheep. Like, number one job, make sure sheep don't get eaten. But then we sell sheep to get eaten. Like, that's just an odd thing, you know? And so shepherds are, you know, hanging around. They're doing life, talking about anything that you guys might have been talking about at work this week. Talking about just normal life things. I mean, these guys are just hanging out. They're doing their job. And when you're doing your job, you chat. You talk about things. You talk about stuff, and you have those filters you put in, because depending on who you're talking with, you know, I'm not going to mention this. I'm going to mention this. I'm not going to mention this. I'll mention this. And we filter our experience, and we talk through this with the shepherds. So the shepherds are hanging around their fire. I wonder if they're maybe telling the latest sheep jokes, you know? I mean, think about it. You got a bunch of guys, they're sitting around a campfire hanging out, and they're telling jokes. And they might be, maybe they're saying, hey, man, where do the sheep get their hair cut? The barber shop. Yeah? Yeah? Maybe they're sitting around a fire, and they're saying, you know, why are sheep such bad drivers? Because they make illegal U-turns. Huh? Huh? That one takes a second, because you got to spell, you got to think it through, the U-turn. Yeah? Huh? All right. Maybe they're sitting around a fire telling these jokes, and I've got more. So if you don't laugh at this one, I got more. Yeah? I'll just keep bringing them. It's all right. What do you call a sheep with no legs? He's just a cloud, man. He's just a cloud. So you got these shepherds, they're hanging out. They're looking at life the way they always have looked at life. Nothing has changed. They're just doing their regular thing. Can you relate to that? I can relate to that. I go to work, and sometimes the day just zooms past me because you're like, oh my goodness, I'm just doing the same thing every day. Sometimes I feel like I have the same conversations with the same people every day. You just start doing, you get in your routine, and you've got your filters that you do life through, and you look through, and you just kind of look ahead. Next thing you know, you're getting ready for bedtime, and you're like, wait, where did the day go? And these shepherds are sitting there just doing their thing. Doing their job, keeping the sheep safe, keeping a watch over their sheep. And then all of a sudden, everything changes because they're given a completely different way to view life. And it didn't just change them, it changes us. And when we hear this story today, it's going to be something that sinks in and changes us. Now, let me be clear here. When I tell you this story of what happened to the shepherds, their circumstance might not have changed, but their view changes. And so it's very important as we talk about this story and we talk about things that are great and good and things like that, it's very important to hear the fact that your circumstances might not change, at least not right away, but our view changes, our perspective changes. And that's what's important about this story, is a fresh perspective. Our wonder gets stirred up in us. This idea of how we view life dictates how we do life. That starts to stir in us. And our circumstances might still be the same in front of us. We still might be frustrated at work. We still might have frustrations with trying to find a job. We might have frustrations at home. Those things might stay the same. Your circumstances might not change immediately. But what can change, if you allow it, is the way we view it. The filter that we put in when we see it might change. And so I'm going to read from this in the Bible. There's a book called Luke, and so we're going to actually have it here on the screen for you. If you don't have a Bible with you, or if you have your phone, you can pull it up on there. There's a book in the Bible called Luke. This is one of the gospel accounts. So this is one of the people writing about Jesus's life and his whole time. And so we have we're leading up to the birth of Jesus. So we have this moment in Luke chapter 2, and it says, "And the shepherds were living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified." I mean, this is legit, right? Because if you're sitting at work and this happens, you're going to be terrified. If you're doing your normal daily routine and you're sitting around talking with your group of guys, you're doing your thing, you're doing your job. My job is to keep the sheep safe. I'm doing that. All of a sudden, an angel shows up and the glory of God shines around you. You're going to be like, oh man, this freaks me out. There's no way you're not going to be at least a little bit intimidated when the glory, or you're going to be wondering what you ate last night. You're just going to be wondering what's going on. Kind of like like the Scrooge. When Scrooge sees Marley, he says, there's more of gravy than of grave about you. Because he says, that could have been something I ate last night that makes you come up here. So we can relate. If we're sitting there in our jobs, doing our jobs, and the shepherds we're like the shepherds there, and an angel shows up, that's a little terrifying. But the angels quickly say, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause a great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. And then suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God. Glory to God in the highest, and earth and glory to God in the highest in heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests. Man, what a statement. These guys are not the guys sitting at the temple. These are not the most religious guys. These are the guys out just doing their job. These guys up to this point have no connection to the Christmas story that we're aware of. But here they are doing their job. And God says, I need you to see me. I need you to look up. I need you to change your view. And that's really big. I don't know about you, but that's relaxing to me. Because that means that this could be any of us. That God wants to shine his peace and favor on. He wants us to look up at him. So he wants to take us from looking at our lives and looking at our circumstances and move us to looking up. He wants to change the way we look at things. And these shepherds, they go from looking at what they're working on, looking at their regular job, looking at their normal life and circumstances, and now they turn around and they're looking up. And a perspective changes. This story goes on and it says that the shepherds end up saying, hey guys, we got to go now. We got to go now and see this baby, right? Now, let's leave now. Who's taking care of the sheep? I don't know. They've got sheep jokes to keep them busy. That's all they need. So let's go. We go now. And they went and they found him. Everything changed because their view changed. Their view is what really, really changed and what mattered. They went from looking at their lives to looking up. And that's what we could be called to this Christmas season. See, God intervened and gave them a new place to view life and to view him. He gave them a new perspective. It was no longer just what's in front of me, but how big and awesome that God is now that really changes things. I wonder how many of us spent a lot of 2017. I wonder how many of us spent this year that we just are about to finish up looking down at our circumstances, at our life, at what's going on at work, at what's going on at home, just looking down at things, just looking at life, just looking at exactly what's in front of me, nothing else, using that viewfinder with those filters of our past to look at the future and our present circumstances, all about through these filters, right? I wonder how many of us spent more time there and less time looking up. I wonder how many times we could have just looked up and changed our perspective just a little bit and start tweaking it just a little bit. Now look, I'm not saying that we deny reality. I'm not saying that we float in the clouds and see like everything's okay. It's unicorns and rainbows all the way. I'm not saying that because life is hard sometimes. What I'm saying is that even if our circumstances don't change, if we take some moments to look up, our perspective changes because what we see is the same God that came to those shepherds and thought these shepherds deserved peace and favor, that same God looks upon you and looks upon me and says, hey, I want you to see me. I want you to see me. That same God that came to the shepherds that night is the same God that wants to see me now and wants me to see him. And that changes things and it presents this sense of awe. And not just a sense of awe, like if you see a cute baby, you're like, oh, that's cute. But like a sense of awe where you don't know what to say because what you're seeing is just so amazing. And it's a sense of, oh, wow. And God wants to shift us there to a sense of awe. I think we all need more awe in our lives. Let me ask you a few questions. Which is bigger in your life right now? God? Or your circumstances? You see, when you look up constantly, God takes his rightful place, and so do your circumstances. This isn't a matter of your circumstances have changed and now everything is great. What changes is the fact that you see that this same God that interacted with the shepherds in the Christmas story is the same God that interacts with us now. And he wants us to have peace and rest. I want to give you an idea of what this might have looked like for the shepherds. There was this guy, have you ever heard of Andre the Giant? Let me see hands if anybody has heard of Andre the Giant. Okay, thank you for knowing who Andre the Giant is. Okay, so Andre the Giant was a professional wrestler first, and so most people were like, oh yeah, he was in Princess Bride. But let me show you, we've got Andre the Giant in Princess Bride. I think we also have him in the wrestling ring too. And so he was in the Princess Bride. He was also a wrestler. See, he's a big guy. Like, I often think that Hulk Hogan was a big guy. I'm a little guy, so pretty much anybody's a big guy when you are a little guy. And so I'm like, Hulk Hogan's a big guy, but look, Hulk Hogan even has to look up at Andre the Giant. So Andre the Giant is a big, big guy. He was reportedly 7 feet tall, with 7 feet and 4 inches tall. He weighed over 300 pounds. That's a massive guy, just all around massive guy, tall, massive guy. And so there's this one scene. So anybody who would have walked up to him would have been looking up to him. I mean, pretty much anybody in this room, maybe with the exception of a couple of you, been looking up to Andre the Giant. I definitely would have been looking up to him, and most of us would have. And so I imagine that this happened a lot, where people just stopped him to look at him, or like, oh man, let me get my picture with you. Can you imagine the selfie age? It'd just be a belly and your face, right? Like, selfie of his belly next to me. And so we have this moment captured when he's walking through an airport of a little kid running up to Andre the Giant. And I have this picture I want to show you, because look at this kid's face. That's a sense of awe, right? That's a sense of, I've never seen anything like this before in my life. This guy is huge. He looked up. It's an amazing scene. I'm so glad that this is caught on film somewhere, because this face is what I imagine the shepherds to some extent. Obviously, the shepherds are grown men, so it might have been a little bit different. Not as cute in a little outfit. They'd have been in their shepherd gear. It's all right. So stay with me here. It's still good, all right? So imagine that face with the shepherds when the angel appears and he's like, don't be afraid. I bring you good news, because what's happening right now is good. And you don't even know about it. It's happening somewhere else. I want you to go there, because you just have to see this and tell everybody. And they have this awe moment of just, wow. Their view changed. It's almost like the angels came down and said, here, I want you to take this, because things are changing. I just want you to view it differently. I want you to change your view. Here, I'll take that box of them. You can trade them in. I just want to give you this one. And this one says that God is great, that God is full of peace, and that God rests his favor on you. And when we start changing that filter out, and we really look through life with that filter, that God is a God of peace and his favor rests on you. Like I said, your circumstance might not change, but your view does. And you start seeing things just differently, because you see things with this view that God is ultimately good, that God loves me and his favor falls on me. And you look at that and your circumstances take their rightful place. They can be fixed out. They can be worked out. We'll work on that later. We can focus on looking at our awesome God. Because that same God that talked to the shepherds that night, that same God that sent his son that night, is the same God that we worship and talk about and teach about and interact with and pray to. That's the same God. And it changes things. For some of us, this has been a year of looking up. Well, even as a church, we think of United launching in October. That was a big moment to just look up. We have a brand new church that's exciting. We have energy that's worshiping God and learning together and growing together. And even when schools close, we still find ways to gather, because we just have this moments of looking up, because we see it as important. We don't just look at the circumstances. We get to see the bigger picture of just God is full of peace and his favor rests on us. And that we as a church have already baptized 7 people throughout our church. 7 people have taken time to look up. Yeah, clap for that. That's great. We've only been around since October, and we've had 7 people say, I'm changing my view now. I'm looking up now. For some of you, though, you might be scared. Looking up can be scary if you're not familiar with it. Because here's the deal. Our brain convinces us of bad things. Our brain convinces us that God is mad at us, that God wants to take us down, that he's frustrated with us, that he's just exasperated. Sometimes our brain tells us, if any of you are parents, you know these moments where it's just you're at the end of your rope and your child still won't go to sleep and now he's messed his pants and all these things have happened and you're just tired. And our brain goes to that, that's how God looks at us all the time. And this story from the Christmas story tells us a different story because it tells us that that's not how God looks at us. God looks at us and says, peace and favor rest upon you. I'm the God of peace. Look at me. And God wants you to just look up. I want to put that picture back up here because one of the best things, so the kid's face is really great, but look at Andre the Giant's face too. All right, whether you think wrestling is real or not real, you still have work to do. He still has a place to be. And he stops for a minute and looks down at this kid and smiles. He doesn't look down at this kid and go, what do you want? That kid had been like, ah, and out of there. No, this face is more similar to what God looks at us. We might have all this stuff going on and we might look up and we might even be afraid to look up because we think, man, he's not going to want us. He's not going to want us. And God's like, hey, I bring peace and favor. And they just, it's different. It's different than what we might have thought. It's different than what we might have been afraid of. And we don't have to be afraid of anything because what we're afraid of is non-existent. What we have is a God that looks at us with peace and favor. And we need to change the way we view life so that we can do life better. This smile is one of grace and understanding. This smile is the one that says, yeah, I'm bigger than you. And that's the first time you're realizing that. This smile is one that's similar to the way God sees you, with a big smile on his face, wanting you to know that he gives you peace and rest, that he loves you, that he created you, that you're his son, that you're his daughter, that when you begin to understand the way God sees you, you begin to take on some fresh eyes and the wonder gets woken up. That sense of awe gets woken up because you're just excited more about things. Like I said, I just need us to remember, this isn't a promise of a circumstance change. This is a promise of a view change. That the way we view life shapes how we do life. And so when we're going through our circumstances, don't be like, oh man, well, nothing's changing. Well, we got to just change our view. Take some time to look up. That's why this could be the very best Christmas you've ever had in your entire life. If you commit now to spending time finding ways to just look up and know that God is looking upon you with peace and favor. If you just simply look up at him. My hope is that we as a church of United will be full of people who look up. Who look up and want to see this same God that saw the shepherds. That look up and want to know that God is looking down on us with peace and favor. As a whole church, we do that together. And that would be the most powerful part about a Christmas story. And there might be some immediate ways for you to look up. Mark talked about some of them up here a little bit ago. You know, there's growth path here with United. We often say around here, try five. So trying five Sundays, trying five times, committing five Sundays to say, you know, I'm going to look up five Sundays. Five Sundays, I'm going to come back to United and just try it and try and look up. Maybe you got a chance to volunteer. Maybe you're starting to get to a point where that's your look up moment where, you know, you've got a lot going on. You might feel busy, but you could also volunteer. And then there's some smaller moments where even when we gather at United and we do have some songs and singing, maybe that's just your moment to pause and look up. Or maybe in February when we launch groups, you could get involved in a group and that could be your time to look up. Anytime that Leah's up here talking about United for moments where we go out and serve at a festival or go out and serve at Christmas on the holiday or anytime we can serve the community and that's our moment to look up. Clothing drives coming up, you know, we could have a chance to look up. And maybe personally on your own level, maybe you could just take some time to pray. Commit to taking moments to just slow down. Maybe taking moments to just read a little bit of your Bible. But even more simple than that, let me give you a real practical thing to do tonight before you go to bed, before you climb into bed, sometime tonight, even if it's cold, even if snow starts coming down again, which would be awesome, you know, anything like that, no matter what's going on, take just a moment. Get your jacket on, get your slippers on, walk outside and just take a moment to look up. Have you ever done this before? because it can be life-changing. It's simple, but life-changing. There's been a couple times this year, across our country, people were looking up, right? We had the total eclipse of the sun. Everybody was looking up, even without the glasses, burning their eyes out. But they were looking up. I think, and we've got a little, see, now you can look up and not even worry about it, right? And, you know, there's moments to look up and just realize that the God who created this is the God who looks down at us, that looks upon us with peace and favor. Well, maybe a couple weeks ago, last Sunday, I believe, was our full moon, super moon. And so I got a picture of that too. Full moon, super moon. I definitely, last week I went out and I just looked up. It was awesome. I know in Baltimore we lose some of the stars. We don't really see all that stuff. But just take a moment to look up. Relate to these shepherds. Take a moment from your busyness of your life to just go outside and look up and think, the same God that looked down at them, the same God that talked to them is talking to me. I want to tell you one last story as I wrap up. And this is a movie, and it's a book, and it's a play, but it's called Les Mis. And if you've seen the most recent movie, I thought it was really good. It's a musical. Not everybody's into that sort of thing. So let me just tell you the story a little bit about Jean Valjean. So the whole beginning opening of the movie is them hauling this ship into like a dock so they can repair it. And it's all the slaves down in here. The water's splashing over their face. And their whole song is Look Down. And they tell lyrics of, look down, you'll always be a slave. Look down, don't look them in the eye. Look down, you're standing in your grave. And that's the whole opening of the song. That's the opening of the movie is look down. And sometimes I feel like we get stuck there and we don't move out of there. But here's the deal. Jean Valjean is on his last day and he gets out of that moment and he's on parole and he cannot find work and he's traveling the countryside looking for work. Nobody will give him work because of his parole papers. He finally lands with a priest and the nuns and they bring him in. They give him shelter. They give him food and they start talking with him and they give him a bed to rest on. And in the middle of the night, he does what any responsible person would do and he robs them. He steals from their silver cabinet, takes it all, shoves it in a bag. He takes off running. They catch him, not the priest, but the officers catch him. They bring him back to the priest, slam him to the floor with blood on his head from the nightsticks as they've beat him. And they say to the bishop, they say, look, we've caught this man red-handed. He had the nerve to say, you gave him this. And the guy comes over and he says, you're right. And he looks down at Jean Valjean. He says, but my friend, you left so early that you left all this behind. And he starts grabbing the candlesticks off the table and he gives it to him. And he tells the police officers, you've done your job, but this man has spoken true. And he sends them away and he looks down. And Jean Valjean has a moment here where he looks up and things change. There's a whole song that comes from here about just how things are going to change. That this is not his life anymore. Nothing's the same anymore. Things are changing because he had a moment to look up and see forgiveness and grace. And that same forgiveness and grace and peace and favor is what is given to us when we look up and take a minute to just look up. God's not mad at you. He's not sitting around waiting to just throw out judgment on you. He's not waiting to slam the doors on you. He's looking down at you saying, hey, look up, look up. That's the call for you today. Just look up. It'll change the way you view life, and how we view life changes how we do life. Would you pray with me?